Welcome to the Exit 68 podcast with your co-hosts, Matt, Justin, and Ben.
Welcome back to the Exit 68 podcast. It is Matt and Justin today. I feel like absolute dog shit. We've been on the road for the last week, and a lot's happened since then. Last time we talked, UConn was heading into the Big East tournament. Well, they won that, and in pretty good fashion as well, rolling through a couple teams down in New York. Come back, had a couple days of practice, brackets come out. The Big East gets absolutely fleeced. UConn, the number one overall one seed, gets put in a bracket with four conference champions, including themselves. And they've won their first two games. Absolutely shit pumping Stetson and then knocking off Northwestern in a game where UConn only hit two threes, but still absolutely demolished a team. I think it was Donovan Clingan's best game of his career, 14-14-10. Steph Castle absolutely put the clamps on Boo Booey, who had his college career ended at the hands of a freshman. And now back in familiar territory for these last 12 months, UConn's heading into the Sweet 16. As we said before, and as John Rothstein has said 100 times, they will not have to get on a plane until the Final Four. They just played their last two games down in New York. They're going to have a week of practice. And on Thursday, they're coming up to Storrs North, Boston, Massachusetts, the TD Garden, in a national championship rematch against San Diego State University, with an eye on Illinois and Iowa State on the other side. If you didn't think this was a good time to be a Husky fan, I just don't know what else to tell you, because it just doesn't get better than this. And Justin, I'm just going to bring you in here and ask one question. Why the hell am I just not nervous at all? I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me. We've just gotten numb to this.
Yeah, it feels like the first two tournament games were, I don't know. I didn't feel the nerves. I just felt like if it's a different feeling when you feel like if you play your game, no one can beat you. If you play a step down from your game, they still need a couple of things to go right to beat you. And if you play your absolute worst, they still need to play good to beat you. I think that's an uncommon feeling for us over the past decade, you know, probably back to like 08, 04, like that whole kind of time frame. We haven't felt like this in a while. We had an impressive showing down at MSG per usual. The Garden was rocking. I was there four nights in a row. I spent 20 hours in MSG over the course of 4 days. It was just an absolutely electric atmosphere and just an ultimate kind of like test against guys who we'd seen multiple times this year. I was nervous for that St. John's game. We pulled through, real back and forth matchup. But I think it was the perfect lead into the tournament now, because you know, you're a little bit more battle tested. You played the best teams all throughout conference play, second best conference in the nation according to KenPom. But now, you know, you're getting back on track against some of these out of conference teams, in which we've had a ton of success against when they have very little time to plan for us. Now, this is a unique game because we saw San Diego State last year. They only return 50% of their minutes and 50% of their points from last year, but they're good. They're solid. They're a good defensive team. They're top 25 in KenPom. They've had some good wins. They've had some interesting losses. They lost at BYU, at Grand, at home against, or away against BYU, away against Grand Canyon, away against New Mexico, away against Nevada, away against Utah State, away against UNLV. So all that to say, the UConn fans got to bring it up to Storrs North, as Hurley's been calling it. And make it feel like a home game for the Huskies, because these guys have struggled on the road against, you know, tournament teams. They're good quality teams, but they're tournament teams, and they're tournament teams that have been knocked out in the first two rounds. So I think Bart Torvik, we're about a 9-point favorite going into tomorrow night. And I think we matched up well. But it's March Madness, so, you know, a couple things don't bounce the right way and people start getting nervous, especially when you're coming in as a perennial favorite. So the pressure is always on, and we got to hit shots and we got to show up and perform.
Yeah. And I think going back to MSG, I was obviously only there for the championship game, but that game against Marquette, I think just kind of sums up this team in a lot of ways. Yes, Marquette was down Colek, who's unbelievable, but that's still a great coach. That's a team that knows us super well. They got a lot of talent all over the roster. And I honestly, I mean, UConn did not play well that game. You know, in agreement, I think you would agree with that. I would call it like a C plus B minus game. They still found a way to win. This team, with the versatility they have between Donovan, Samson when he gets hot, the plethora of guards you throw in Castle's defense, they can just find a way to win, really in any type of game against any team. They've shown that in a variety of different settings this year. So obviously super confident, but you look at San Diego State, like you said, top 25 KenPom team, the number 53 ranked offense, kind of similar to last year, number 9 ranked defense. That's the team that they pride themselves on defense. They're led by a big man in Ladee, who kind of reminds me of a Dixon a bit from Villanova. Maybe not the tallest dude out there, but just built like an absolute shit house, and really has a pretty smooth jumper on him. But just uses wide shoulders, just bully people inside. I feel great about this game, honestly. There's no way this team's gonna outscore us. I think the only way we run into trouble is Donnie getting in foul trouble. And if this team's really able to blow up our ball screens and we're not able to do something about it, just with how hard they play defense. But I said it before, I'm a little bit disturbed by how confident I am in this team, and it's so crazy to just think that just over a year ago, the lack of confidence that we had, and what a couple wins under your belt in the NCAA tournament does for it. And not even just wins. Like, I saw the stat the other day. Like, none of these games have been close, which is crazy. Like, I still just don't believe it at all. What's the closest game we played in the NCAA tournament last year? It was like 12 points. It's
I don't
something
even know if
insane.
it's
It might be
something
15.
insane. The thing is, we're supposed to be here. So you look back at last year, the closest game we played was 15 last year.
Jesus.
Sorry, 13 against the University. Miami University, University of Miami. We're supposed to be here. So the first two rounds shouldn't make you nervous, right? You're supposed to beat Northwestern. You're supposed to beat Stetson. You're supposed to beat San Diego State. There's probably not a game we're going to play that doesn't feel like we're supposed to win the game if we play the way we're supposed to play. I think San Diego State is a good match for us. I think Ladee is strong, but San Diego State as a whole, they're a strong defensive team. They're an efficient offensive team, but they really struggle to shoot the three. They're 281st in the nation from a 3-point shooting percentage. So, if you think about the importance of someone like Donovan tomorrow night, yes, the concern is that he gets in foul trouble and these guys go at the rim and they abuse the paint and they attack the paint and they don't have to be relying on threes. But if you can keep Donnie in the game, if you can get good minutes, I can see Stewart having to provide some good minutes. I think he matches Ladee's body type, and I think that he can stick with him. I like that matchup if we have to go to it. I think that if we can keep the interior of the defense strong, they're going to have an all season shooting performance to hang with our offense. So, we're coming off two rough shooting games in a row. The Stetson game, yes, everything was going right from three. For the most part, I think we shot 40% of the game, and like you had said, we made three threes. In the last game, it felt like nothing would go. I'm really looking for Caravan to bounce back. He's 2-9 so far in the first two games. We're going to need him to knock down shots. That being said, the offense having only hit three jumpers last week was just incredibly impressive. The cuts, the different sets, the different optionality off the cuts, the
Passing.
setting them up based on, a play they ran in the first half and running option B or C or D off of that play in the second half and getting a layup off of it. Everything was great. So, I think we need to continue to do what we want to do. God, it would be nice to hit some threes early and not be totally feeling like every three we take is going to go back rim or front rim or side rim or whatever it is. And they're not bad looks. We're not taking bad shots. They're in rhythm. They're decent looks. I would just love to see like the first three go down for Caravan tomorrow night and see what that would do for the team's confidence.
No, I agree. I think it would kind of just light them on fire. Just it just makes things easier when you don't have to grind out every single point. Just kind of overall, I think one thing that it's been well documented, and it's really just, you mentioned some of these sets, some of these looks. Yes, you're not hitting them, but it's starting to really get national attention, which is awesome. But this offense, it's just like it's unbelievable to watch. It's I almost equate it to like a Shanahan-esque, national media gushing now over every week with talking
Yeah.
about sets, the multiplicity, the way they make it simple, but also make things simple for the players that look different to the opponents, the different options they have on it, the counters, the second counters. I guess what I'm really trying to get to is, digging into these articles, reading as much as we do, it really sounds like Luke Murray is just kind of the mad scientist behind this offense. And I know we don't like to look ahead, but this is what we're going to do. Is there a small piece of you deep inside you as a UConn fan that is nervous when that dude leaves about, even if it's a half a step back of just what that's going to do to the offense? I think it's one of the most interesting storylines of the offseason, if he does go. Obviously, Kamani, Tom Moore, Hurley, these are not dumb guys. These are amazing coaches. They've been working with him for a while. They've been implementing it. They've been teaching it. The team has been running it. It's not like he's going to walk out with the secrets to the offense here, but it's just something I've really been chewing on these last couple of days.
Yeah, I think we've said it all year on this. I've definitely said it a billion times at this point. Like the biggest offseason acquisition we made was no acquisition at all, and keeping those guys, keeping the continuity in the recruiting ranks and in the offense and the development and everything. Like those guys have proved invaluable, and it's honestly the culture they've built and the team they've built and the schemes they've built. It's crazy. It's astonishing. There's a reason it's being, absolutely plastered over billboards and newspaper articles and websites and whatever it is. So yeah, it would be unfair to look and say, yeah, we're not going to miss that guy when he does get the job. You're happy for him. He deserves it. But the team that we have and the guys that we have and the confidence that Hurley has built as an offensive coach over the last year, knowing that he was willing to give up some of his defensive, backbone for that, I think it is not something that we can be concerned over. And if we do, we do complete this back-to-back 2-year run, I would be shocked if Kamani and Luke weren't both gone. Like there would be no program in the country that shouldn't be calling those guys top five, top three on their list and offering the job just to see the things that they've done over the past couple of years. But I don't
I
want to think
agree.
about that. I want to
Okay.
focus on the next 4 games. One game at a time, max 4 games, I'll say. Could be the last game, could have four more. But I think we're in a great situation. We're up in Boston. I think the last time we played up in Boston, God, it might have been
I have
like
no
when we
idea.
played, I want to say when we played like Gonzaga a few years ago. I'm definitely missing a time in between that. But it sounds like the demand for tickets is really high. It's been all over Twitter, people complaining to AD Benedict about the lack of ticket allotment. People want to get up there. People want to support the team. It is funny though that you mention all the press that we've gotten, because I now feel like for the first time we're starting to see like Hurley interviews and like team and commercials and like NIL deals. I'm like, where has this been the last 6 months? And now all of a sudden it's here when it's like the most important time of the season. I don't know if that's just me.
I know. I mean, when Kim Kardashian tweets out Donovan Clingan, that's,
Yeah, like
if that doesn't
talk
show you
about
that
an
things are starting to turn around, then it's starting to turn around. And I hate to say it, everyone's on Twitter freaking out. I don't like this. I don't like this. I fucking like it because guess what? We ran through the tournament last year. Everyone was kind of talking shit about our schedule. We were number one for most of the year this year with, not the expectations to exactly be that team. We dominated the metrics. We came in the tournament as the number one seed. We've looked like it so far. Guess what? We deserve our fucking flowers. And I'm not going to be afraid of that. I'm not going to run for that. It's only good for the university. It's only good for the basketball team. And it's nice to see some national media attention actually give this team the respect they deserve, especially after just an absolute sewering by the committee on the Big East in general. And I just love the way they've spit in the face of that. Obviously, it's not an easy job. This was a weird year. There was a lot of late bid stealers. Any team that doesn't make it, you kind of say, well, just win some more games, man. Like, don't complain. But, it definitely feels like Seton Hall and St. John's especially probably got robbed a bit. I would have loved to see Devin Carter in the tournament. All that's in the past now. We just got to look forward. I love how it just feels like us against the world for the Big East, number one, and then number two, everyone is finally waking up and realizing how dominant this team is. I mean, Mike Greenberg said the other day that UConn might be able to beat an NBA play-in team, which is an awful take, but it's just nice to see that happen.
The good news is that I think this has kind of forced the fan base, especially as I think about like you, me, Matt on this pod all years that we've felt uncomfortable being the center of attention. The attention that we've gotten has now forced us to be like, okay, this is normal. This is normal. And you can't fight it anymore, right? So if you want to be a blue blood, you want to be a top tier program, you got to get comfortable with this type of attention and this type of pressure and this type of everything that you can think of from, again, the NIL deals, the commercials, the newspaper
Instagram
articles,
DMs
the
from random
press in your
people,
place,
like
everything. So
everything.
it has forced us, it has forced the team, it's forced everyone into being comfortable being at the top of your game all the time. And I think, Hurley demands that of folks. So if he feels them slipping, if he feels like this team can't handle it, it feels like he knows how to rein that in and pull it back. But I don't know. It's been such a fun year. And I love it. One of the things I'll say is one of my favorite parts about being back in the Big East is when we turn the corner on hating each other all year. And now it's like, holy shit, I'm screaming at the top of my lungs for this Creighton game, or holy crap, I hope Marquette pulls this out. Like the banding together of the conference after the conference season and after the end of the conference tournament, after the hatred you have for each other all year is almost one of the best parts about college basketball, when you can finally join in with those guys you've been talking shit to all year long and say like, hey, let's go get this thing for our conference that's underappreciated.
No, it really is fucking awesome. I mean, there's a lot of crazy people in this little basketball conference of ours who take basketball way too seriously because for most colleges, we don't have anything else. And there's nothing better than looking over in your foxhole in March and seeing St. John's, DePaul Twitter accounts. Everyone's just coming out and you're like, you know what? Yeah, we are in this together. There's nothing better. Guess what? He's my crazy guy now. Frank the Tank, yeah, he's in my fucking corner now. And I love it. There's just nothing better than it. Especially, with some of the disrespect that we've seen. Justin, I just want to ask you a question. I'm gonna answer it first. Favorite moment of this little run so far. I'm actually gonna steal this one from Rob Dowster because I literally jumped in the air when I saw it outside of the actual games. Seeing Youssef Sangare carry Luke Murray's kids. Behind the camera was one of my favorite sights just of the year. I just think this team is just so close. They truly do love each other. You get a guy who literally does not play a minute, who's that tight with the coach and it's just a family atmosphere on there. Definitely though, favorite moment of the games though between the Big East and this is gotta be my boy Jalen Stewart just popping off at MSG, hitting three threes in a row.
Incredible.
I lost my voice for about 3 days after that one. I'll never forget it. I lost some money on Jalen this year in a bet with one of our friends who said that he couldn't hit a three, and it was nice to get validated. It was some of the best $10 I've ever lost because he hit him when he counts. And Jalen, I'll love you forever because of that.
Yeah, the Big East top performer to me was Big Red. I mean, he friggin' showed out, man. And listen, it's not easy for that guy to get up on his feet and bring the whole arena to just an absolute shouting match.
Justin, he
He
doesn't miss games.
doesn't miss
How does
games.
that
He
guy
gets up
not
out of
miss
that seat.
games?
How is his arm not thrown out of his socket after this many years? And it was the loudest I'd heard
I agree.
MSG in my entire adult life, when he decided to let it rip. And I saw a tweet after the game that was like, "This is the best chant in college basketball. No other team has this." And I'm dying on that hill. Like, when they let a good old UCONN rip after a 7-0 run or a 9-0 run or even a 5-0 run, and the crowd's just waiting to erupt, there is just nothing like it. And there's nothing like it at MSG. My
Players love
favorite
it too,
moment
which is awesome.
the players love it. It's an instant energy thing. I almost feel like the stadium, obviously at XL or Gamble, waits for that to finish to play music. I almost feel like MSG has now adopted that too, where they're like, "All right, here they come." And then as soon as the chant ends, they let the music rip and just sends the crowd into a frenzy. It is the absolute best. It almost seems illegal when they let us play tournament games at MSG, like actual NCAA tournament games, like 2014. My favorite play of the tournament thus far, honestly, wasn't a singular play, but just the way we flew around the first 10, 15 minutes against Northwestern. That was an absolute clamp job by the entire defense. Everyone was on a string. The guards on Bowie between Diarra and Castle were just, it felt like they were poking everything. They were getting up and in. The physical play of the Big East was, someone tweeted this last night too. The physical play of the Big East and the lack of foul calls you now get as compared to during Big East play is really to our advantage, where we can go out there, we can be really aggressive. That first 10 to 15 minutes of that game from a defensive standpoint were as good as I've ever seen a UConn team play defensively.
And there really is nothing better. It's almost like watching Wemby against a new team. We saw this a lot at the beginning of the year. The first time a team plays Klingon and
It's crazy.
they try to take a couple layups and they're just like,
How do you think you can get
they're
that
like,
shot
what the
off?
hell is going on? And then the rest of the game, they're just like dribbling into the paint and they're like looking around. They're like, I can't shoot it here. Like, I don't know what to do. The dude,
But it is funny.
it's
A lot of.
crazy watching a new team play him.
And he probably should have had 10 blocks. I know the box score didn't have that, maybe even more. I will say, like, dudes don't, it's not like guys are just taking it at him too. Like, people are trying everything. They're going in there, they're trying to quick pitch it, they're trying to fling it up there before he can jump, and he's good, relatively quick jumper. They're going right into his body, they're going directly at the front of the rim. Like, he had that block on the attempted dunk the other night too. He
He's
has
just
just
Donnie,
been
man. He's just a fucking
Donnie.
cheat code. It's awesome. I'm gonna
It
miss
is
him so
awesome.
much. I love watching him play. He is
Yeah.
just electric on the defensive end.
He's just got such a cool story, because he obviously, all the stuff with his mom and him having to deal with that. And I loved, as a Connecticut CIAC guy, like, and a CCC conference guy, all the same, like, I love the fact that he committed to public school basketball. He didn't prep, he didn't listen to the coaches telling him he needed to go play, at St. Thomas More or Brewster Academy or Putnam Science. Like, he committed to Bristol Central and said, "This is where I'm going to be, and this is what I'm going to do." And for all intents and purposes, the man has an absolute chance to walk out of there with two national championships and become a lottery pick. Like, tell all the talking heads to shove it, do what you want, make it happen. Like, take destiny into your own hands. Just a kid who likes fishing from Bristol, Connecticut.
And dude, guess what? Tell us to shove it. We know the kid better than anyone. He's coming in freshman year. We're like, yeah, he's a top recruit. He's super big. He was playing in the SEAC against 6'4" centers. I don't really know what this is gonna look like. It's probably gonna take him a year or two to really get acclimated. Nope. He was just pretty awesome the second he got in there.
Yeah, he was.
And just kudos to him because Donovan Klingon's story, it could have been one of just some big kind of crazy tall kid from Connecticut who played crappy competition, and just relied on his size, but he is not, man. He is a basketball player. I think my favorite part of him this year is just watching his passing improve.
Yeah.
We saw some flash of it last year, but with his height, and really just his basketball knowledge now, just as he's gotten more comfortable in this offense, the way he flings that thing around sometimes it's really awesome. He's a joy to watch. He's going to be one of my favorite UConn Huskies ever. I mean, you could say that for so many guys on this team, and I'm really just excited to keep watching this team play. We're going to be covering the rest of this tournament after every game. Hopefully, that means a lot more podcasts. I cannot wait for Thursday. We're gonna have a massive crew. in Boston. Hopefully going to the game. We'll see what happens with the prices. If anyone's got free tickets out there, let us know. We will do anything, and I mean anything, for those tickets. And go Skis, Justin. I don't really have much else to say. Excited to watch hopefully take down San Diego State for the second time in a year.
Yeah, shout out to the Yale Bulldogs. Awesome upset over Auburn. That was my favorite game of the opening two rounds, honestly.
Can't believe we didn't talk about
Absolute
it.
frenzy at the buzzer to go and win that game. So, representing the Ivy Leagues, representing New Haven, Connecticut. That was awesome to see. And candidly, I think we can beat San Diego State. I would have been a little bit fearful about playing Yale once they get the confidence of an Ivy League school and getting deep into March. Like, no, thank you. Let's
I
keep it
think we
rolling.
lost last time we played Yale.
Yeah, we did.
And then
This
we
is an
saw the whole and then we
all-time
saw the
Sweet
whole team
16.
at the bar after.
There, you can argue the flip side that there hasn't been a ton of like holy crap moments or big upsets. You got Oakland, but this is like as chalk a Sweet 16 as it gets. And NC State's probably the worst team who's left, and they're playing better than anyone right now. So, this has the potential to be like an all-time weekend just in terms of the matchups and the games. Like, I'm looking forward to Duke Houston. I'm looking forward to Creighton, Tennessee. Like, those are massive, massive fun games with a lot of talent and a lot at stake. The best time of year. Some would
No.
say this weekend's better than the opening weekend.
Especially with the chalkiness that we have, I mean, it's just going to be high level basketball all over the place.
It is. Top prospects, top coaches, top programs. Like, now's your time. No one's going to say you have a cakewalk. No one's going to say, you lucked out with who won and what seed you faced. Like, to go get it this year, you're going to have to beat the best teams consistently all year, the KenPom best teams, the most battle-tested teams, and the teams playing at their best in March. So it's going to be an awesome couple of weeks here up until the finish, and hopefully we can ride it out all the way there.
Can't wait to watch it. I don't know, man. We're just living in a dream right now. I don't want to attend. That's about it.
Go Skis.
Go Skis, baby.